Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, August 10, 2021. South Sudanese analysts say intra-SPLM fighting could threaten the 2018 peace deal.
Two of their major generals got killed. About 27 soldiers got killed. From the SLIO side, 3 soldiers got killed. 13 others got injured. They destroyed one weapon, that is a BM-107mm gun from us.
And a South Sudanese social media celebrity has been fined thousands of dollars for defamation.
The convict Amira Ali has been convicted to first sentenced to 6 months in prison for violating Article 289 of the Penal Code of 2008.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A known number of people are feared dead and others injured after fighting broke out between SPLAIO forces loyal to First Vice President Riek Machar and a splinter group loyal to General Simon Gatwich in Upper Nile State over the weekend. One analyst says the fighting between two factions of the SPLAIO could delay the unification of the forces required by the revitalized peace deal. For VOA News, ONN Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
Colonel Lampole Gabriel, spokesperson for the SPLA forces loyal to Riek Machar, says forces loyal to rebel generals Johnson Oloñ and Simon Gatwich attacked Machar's forces Saturday morning in Upper Nile State. VOA could not independently verify Gabriel's accounts of who started the fighting in Upper Nile.
Two of their major generals got killed. About 27 soldiers got killed. From the SPLAIO side, 3 soldiers got killed. 13 others got injured. They destroyed one weapon, that is a BM-107mm gun from us. Then a T-55 tank developed a mechanical problem and it was left in Magenis during their pursuit. From their side, a warrant was captured with Zu-23 anti-aircraft. Then one Zu also destroyed and 114 captured. From there, also one APC was destroyed with all people inside, the fighters.
But William Gadjang, spokesperson for the SPLAIO faction, led by General Gatwich Duol, says Machar's forces attacked first. He says Sudanese security forces intervened and urged Machar's forces not to attack to avoid possible casualties, including unarmed Sudanese citizens. Gadjang says Machar's forces attacked Gatwich's forces, which responded in self-defense.
They surrendered all their heavy weapons. Most of their soldiers surrendered to the Sudanese government. We were angry with the Sudan government to take them from their hands, but they refused to give them to us until they were disarmed, civilized, and taken to refugee camp. When they were chased out from Magenis, it led to the loss of their birthplace at Kurjali. We captured Kurjali. Our forces went after them until we reached the division's headquarters at Kurwai. We captured Kurwai, where we get the Zu-23. We chased them to Kazan. We chased them to a very remote area, 9 hours footing from Magenis to Amut.
James O'Cook, a senior research fellow at the Juba-based Center for Strategic and Policy Studies, says the fighting between the two factions was expected after Gatwich's group recently announced they had hosted Machar as the leader of the SPLAIO.
It is subduing, of course, it's normal in the army. If the top general declares that he's for another position and you oppose him, either you leave the territory or they arrest you or subdue you to accept what they are doing. So this could be what's happening within the camp in Magenis and those territories controlled by Gerwish Dual and Oloy.
Abraham Kwolnyuan, an assistant professor at the Department of Political Science at the University of Juba, says the incident could affect the implementation of the peace deal, but not to a large extent. Nguyen says that the incident will delay the assessment and reunification of forces in areas under the control of the SPLAIO.
Those areas need another assessment, which could lead to the army to be known how many people are ready, who are still paying allegiance to the former IO, and how many people are paying allegiance to the current IO.
Colonel Gabriel and Gadjang both say the situation in Magenis has been calm since Sunday. For VOA News, I am Onen Walter Solomon in Juba.
Two people were killed and seven others wounded during a fight between pastoralists from Kenya and South Sudan. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Abdallah Lukeno, the commissioner of Eastern Equatoria State's Kapoeta East County, says a big group of suspected Turkana cattle raiders attacked the Toposa cattle keepers in a place called Mogili at Nadapal near border crossing point. Lukeno says the Turkanas stole an unknown number of cattle from the area.
They, Turkanas, entered Nadapal of South Sudan and took cattle from the town of Nadapal. After stealing the cattle, they went and hid under a tree. The boys from Toposa followed them through the road of Lokichokio and managed to return part of the cattle, and part of them were taken. On the 6th, they attacked Toposa, took cattle from a kraal next to a mountain called Mogila. They told Toposa that that place is not yours. It is a place for Kenya. Shift from it. It is not for South Sudan.
Lokena says two people from Kapoeta were killed and one was injured. He says the injured person and the bodies of the two deceased were taken to a hospital in Narus in Kapoeta East County. He says he briefed the Eastern Equatoria State Governor Luis Labong about the incident, adding that he expects the state government to take action to address the matter with their Kenyan counterparts.
I informed the state government about the incident, and the government needs to hold a dialogue between Toposa and Turkana, a dialogue that has rules, where they accept to live together as previously. Because in May, we sat with the Turkanas. I went to Lokichokio, they came to Nadapal, and we agreed whoever took cattle from Toposa to Turkana should return, and from Toposa, whoever took cattle from Turkana should return to their country.
Lokena says a few days after the agreement, the Turkanas stole cattle from the Toposa, and the Toposa also went and attacked and took cattle from the Turkanas. He says he agreed with the Commission of Turkana that the cattle that were stolen should be returned, but the commissioner did not take any actions. But Johnstone Ekames, an officer in charge of peace building in Turkana West District, says it was the Toposa who attacked the Turkana in revenge for an earlier attack in a place called Napakin, which is located adjacent to Mogele. He says in that attack, the Toposa raided 29 cattle from the Turkana, but no one was injured or killed. He says in the same week, the Turkana attacked back with an aim of retrieving their cattle, but ended up raiding 130 cattle.
The Toposa attacked the Turkana kraal at Napakin in Nanam location, Nanam division in Kenya. So the attack took that long time, from 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. Around six people were rushed to the hospital for sustained injuries. And they attacked the kraal. The animals, the people were surrounded in their kraals. So it was not the Turkana who attacked the Toposa. Toposa were the one who attacked the Turkana. Maybe this is a revenge of the 130 cows that Turkana took from the Toposa. After a number of attack incidents which were conducted by the Toposa.
Ekame says when those cattle were taken to Turkana, he immediately informed the Commission of Kapoeta East about the cattle that were raided and asked the commissioner how they can return the cattle. He says the commissioner went quiet without reaction or follow-ups to recover the cattle, something he says it's an order of the day for the Toposa to continue attacking the Turkanas.
I reached out to the commissioner. We had an intergovernmental meeting in Lokichokio. And what we agreed, we were to implement. But the South Sudan side have disappeared. It's like local community have more power than the government. But with us, we have tried to reach out to our community. And what happened is that after cumulative attacks, That is when the Turkana also say, no, we've lost a lot. Our people are being killed and for no reason. So that's why they went and attacked.
Ekame says he knows there have been concerns over the borderlines, but since the two communities failed to reach an agreement on the exact borderlines, the decision was left to President Salva Kiir and Uhuru Kenyatta, who both agreed on a border boundary committee headed by the Eastern Equatorial State Governor Louis Labong from South Sudan and the Governor of Turkana, who already initiated the review of the boundaries. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Sudan, where the Sudanese Meteorological Department says thousands of homes have been destroyed in many parts of the country due to flooding caused by heavy rainfall. Sudanese officials say they expect the water level in the River Nile to rise in the coming days. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese officials say heavy rainfall continues in many parts of the country, including the capital Khartoum. They say the water level in the Nile has increased significantly over the past few weeks, putting installations, residents, and crops along the river at high risk. Mohammed Sefadin, spokesperson for the Sudanese Meteorological Department, confirms thousands of Sudanese families have been displaced in Sinnar, Blue Nile, West Darfur, and River Nile states after their houses were destroyed by heavy rains. Saifuddin says 8 out of 18 states have been affected by heavy rains, and the forecast is for heavy rain to continue through mid-September.
We have been experiencing heavy rains in the past few days, and the tropical zone advances beyond the country's northern border. Therefore, we expect all kinds of violent weather events to occur south of the tropical zone as the rain continues to fall across the country.
Last year, the transitional government declared a 3-month state of emergency in flood-affected areas. At least 100 people have been killed in the floods. Thousands of others have lost their homes. Saifuddin warns businesses and residents with the structures near the River Nile and people in low-lying areas of other parts of the country to take precautionary measures to avoid being victimized by flood caused by heavy rains.
We encourage our citizens who are living in open areas and those who are living next to the Blue Nile, White Nile, and the main River Nile to take necessary precautions and stay away from the streams and torrents of the rivers.
The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, in Sudan said in a statement last week that an estimated 12,000 people have been affected by the heavy rains and flooding in 8 of Sudan's 18 states. More than 800 homes have reportedly been destroyed and over 4,400 homes damaged in El Gadarif, White Nile, South Darfur, West Darfur, North Kordofan, River Nile, Southern Kordofan, and Al Jazeera states, according to the United Nations. The United Nations says assessment and verification exercises are ongoing to confirm the number of people affected. Sudanese officials at the Irrigation and Water Resources Ministry say that the Roseris Dam along the Blue Nile and the Jebel Awliya Dam along the White Nile will be open to control water stored. Abdurrahman Sugairun, a Sudanese dam technician at the ministry, says within the period of July the 1st to August the 8th, the level of the Blue Nile has risen to 12.5 billion cubic meters compared to 11.04 cubic meters last year.
We will be forced to operate the dams to maintain a safe level in front of the dam and safe drainage behind the dam.
On Saturday night, most of Khartoum's streets were filled with water, restricting movement in some parts of the capital. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, what is the latest update on COVID-19 after 18 months of the pandemic? That story is lined up after the break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. And in our health segment, we look at how COVID-19 has changed the face of the world in the past 18 months. With the world a year and a half into the pandemic, the United States, India, and Brazil have suffered the most cases of COVID-19 and deaths from the viruses by far. That's according to Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center. As of Monday, Canada is lifting its prohibition of Americans crossing the border, but the U.S. isn't ready yet to reciprocate. AP correspondent Mike Hampen reports.
U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents must be fully vaccinated, fill out a detailed application, and test negative for COVID-19 within 3 days of visiting Canada. The Canadian government says travelers should plan for the possibility of additional processing time at the border. However, the U.S. plans to extend its border closure to all Canadians making non-essential trips until at least August 21st. The U.S. Canada border has been closed to non-essential travel since March of last year. I'm Mike Hempen.
From U.S., we come back to South Sudan, where a court in Juba has sentenced a social media personality known by the name of Mama Amira Ali to 6 months in prison for defaming a former information minister in Warap State. The presiding judge says Amira was found guilty of violating Article 289 of South Sudan Penal Code. The court also ordered Amira to pay 35 million South Sudanese pounds, which is equivalent to $87,000, to the former minister as part of compensation. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Social media influencer Amira Ali is known for insulting and disparaging virus personalities using vulgar language in live videos on her Facebook page. In April, Ali posted two videos insulting and disparaging the family of former information minister Nyanagwe Kol in her Dinka language. Kol later sued Ali. Judge Angole Okumu says a case was opened by Munuki Western Police against Amira Ali on June 3rd.
This is according to the court case from the prosecutor. The case was opened against Amira Ali. The defendant said in her case that the accused had published two videos on 16 April 2021 in Khartoum and on date 29 April 2021 in Juba. The accused published those videos on her Facebook account. This video offended the reputation of the complainant and her family. Then the police started the investigation. Following the completion of the investigation, the case was forwarded to the court under Article 289 from the Penal Code of 2008.
According to the South Sudan Penal Code 2008, whosoever is convicted of harming the reputation of another person shall be sentenced to imprisonment for a term not exceeding 2 years or pay a fine or both. Okumu says after several court hearings and a review of the videos, the court found Ali guilty of insulting and disparaging Cole's family and announced her sentence.
The convict Amira Ali has been convicted to first sentenced to 6 months in prison for violating Article 289 of the Penal Code of 2008, with the suspension of prison due to her health condition. Secondly, the accused is fined with $100,000 for an event of not paying, she will be in prison. Thirdly, the accused is sentenced to pay the complainer 35 million South Sudanese pounds as compensation for the damage she caused.
The sentence further forbids the convict from altering a word or committing a crime within the 6 months period or until she is sent to prison. Judge Okumu says the court was compassionate with Alice due to her medical condition, which includes a heart condition, high blood pressure, and diabetes. Defense lawyer Achwil Cole says even though the ruling seems fair, he and his client were not happy she was given a suspended prison sentence. Cole says the medical documents presented to the court were not from an official medical institution.
For the suspension of the imprisonment by the court, we think there was a mistake to consider the documents presented to the court, because the documents were submitted before the court takes them into consideration. So we said the court had ruled and dismissed the document because they are irrelevant and these documents are not from an official institution.
Ali, who appeared relaxed during the sentencing, says she appreciated the court's ruling and that it sends a message to all citizens that South Sudan has a judiciary system in place and no one is above the law. Ali says she will pay the compensation as required by court.
I am not annoyed. There is nothing between me and Nyanagwek. Right now, I have forgiven her because the issue was not between me and her. The issue was between her and her sister. I intervened to solve the problem because all of them are my children. I am married to Abie and those are my children. I have a right if anyone made a mistake against one another. I have a right to respond, and not because I am smarter than the other. I am smarter than the other person. I have no problem with Nyanagwek. May the Lord forgive her, and the money she needs will be paid.
Article 289 of the Penal Code does not specify the amount which is to be paid as a fine by a person convicted of defamation. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Khartoum, where some association of women are protesting a decision by the Khartoum state government to include men in women's cooperative groups. Some women activists describe the decision as a violation of women's rights to assembly. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese members of the women's cooperative associations in Khartoum state say they are unhappy with the decision to dislaw the registration of women's cooperative associations based on discriminatory, gender-insensitive, and legally non-existent grounds. They say the decision does not reflect women's contribution during the revolution that ousted former President Omar al-Bashir. Faiza Ismail, the executive director of the Women Hope Makers Association in Khartoum, says they were shocked to hear that they could no longer renew the registration licenses unless they add men to their group. She says men are already dominant in every aspect of Sudanese society and wonders why, in her words, the state cannot leave women alone.
Most of our members in the cooperative associations are widows, divorced, displaced, refugees, and those who are coming from the war-affected areas. We don't want to include men in our organizations because our issues that affect us are different from what affects men.
Saida Yusuf, who heads the Women's Self-Reliant Association in Khartoum, says the decision is illegal and targets vulnerable women who contributed greatly to the Sudanese revolution. Yusuf says the cooperative groups help organize and advocate for services and help alleviate poverty, making a dignified living for their families. The women rights activists are calling for the immediate reform of laws that restrict women participation in public life. Yusuf says it is time for them to speak up on any single political decision that is still oppresses women in Sudan.
In previous periods, we were only allowed to work on economic empowerment and social issues and were afraid to engage in politics because there was a lot of oppression on women and we were not allowed to carry out any political activities. Now, we think we have an opportunity to fully participate with a full voice.
Shahinaz Abdul Hafiz, the registrar at the Cooperative Department at the Ministry of Trade and Industry, says the decision is meant to include gender balance but is optional.
The cooperative is supposed to be among all genders and everyone should benefit from such associations. So what we have been telling them is that if they don't mind including some men as members in these groups, it will be better. This is an option, not a must. This is not a condition for the registration, but is an option.
Sudanese women activist Hala Al-Karib, who heads the local NGO Strategic Initiative for Women in the Horn of Africa, condemned the decision and says women issues cannot be tackled by men.
They utilize those platforms as platforms for solidarity and support and for addressing challenges of poverty and access to resources and improving their livelihoods.
Al-Karib called for reforming policies so that women can enjoy the fruits of the revolution.
There is much more work that needs to be done to restructure, you know, the different government departments, a lot of work that needs to be done when it comes to laws and policy framework.
The Sudanese transitional government vowed to lift all laws that oppress women in the country and allow them to participate in public life. In November 2019, the Sudanese government lifted the controversial Public Order Act that used to restrict women's dress code and prevent them from participating in public activities such as businesses and sports activities. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
That's all we prepared for you this Tuesday. Let's know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +1 202 630 8011. Send us your brief messages and we will sample them every Friday. We now leave you with Simon Kero with the song Bambe Makaimot.
Bambe makaimo moya garwa saki. Bambe makaimo moya garwa saki. Zaman motoroz de mat turudumara. Zaman mataraz de mat turudumara. Bambe makaimo moya helo asaki. Bambe makaimo moya helo asaki. Washini dunga mayan me fare. Washini dunga mayan me fare. Aparwe miajirojini kusende unakwario. Aspire garanga jubana wawo wada. Bambe makaimo moya garwa saki. Sikiri adabu zede marana madairu. Sikiri adabu zede marana madairu. Zaman barad zede marana madairu. Yeah.
We've been listening to Simon Kero with the song Bambe Makaimot. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
kandara shara genia kamuni fungoro fere bambe makai momo ya hilo asake bambe makai momo ya hilo asake ya ya ya.